This is Digital Story Podcast number 667, December 25th, 2018. Today's theme is the inside scoop on Luminar 3 with libraries. I'm Derek Story. On December 18th, Skylum released the long-awaited Luminar with libraries. What was originally perceived by customers as a Lightroom replacement proved to be an asset manager of a different type. Some love it, others are disappointed. Where you land on this spectrum depends on your needs. Helping you determine that is the focus of today's TDS Photography Podcast. Well, happy holidays, everyone. I'm glad we get to spend this time together during this time of year. One of my holiday gifts is that I have my voice back. Yay! I am so happy to have my voice back. I had it back just in time for the Nimble Classroom that I did on Saturday for Luminar 3 with libraries. And it was a good thing I had it back because that was basically 4.5 hours of talking. And you needed a voice to pull that off, and I did, and we had a great class. So what I want to do right now, that was a deep dive. As I said, we went into all sorts of different stuff with Luminar 3. What I want to do right now is help those of you out there who are trying to decide, is this something I should look at? Or I have a Luminar license right now. Should I, you know, download the new Luminar 3 with libraries, which is a free download if you have a Luminar license right now, and start working with it? Can I ditch Lightroom? Can I ditch Capture One Pro? Can I, you know, get away from photos? You know, these are things that are bouncing around in people's heads. And so what I want to do is help you with that. Help you decide, should I look at this application now? Should I wait 6 months and see what happens? You know, what should I do? So the first thing I'm going to tell you is that Luminar 3 is not a replacement for Lightroom as it stands right now. And in fact, Luminar 3 is more like Adobe Bridge than Adobe Lightroom. And the reason why I say that is that the way the application is constructed is that it looks at the files that you have on your hard drive, and you point Luminar 3 to those files. And in my case, what I do is I organize everything in one folder. So I have a Luminar 3 images folder, and then within that folder, I have all the different folders for the different projects and shoots and stuff that I'm working on. I point Luminar 3 to that folder, that master folder, that root folder, and then I can manage everything inside that folder, either on the Finder level or with Luminar 3 with libraries. And that's the way this thing works. So what it does is that it gives you some very nice tools in a very pleasant interface to do something that a lot of people are doing on their desktop. And this is both for Windows and for Mac. So if you're used to sort of organizing your files and folders and directories and all that kind of stuff, but then you're never, you know, really sure, you know, where a certain file is, because, you know, previewing the thumbnails is not easy, or you're not able to give them star ratings, or you can't mark a favorite to do a color label as easily, then Luminar 3 with libraries is going to be quite a blessing to you. Because what you can do is you can point Luminar 3 to this very same structure that you're already working with, but now you have this interface that has star ratings. It does have star ratings. It has color tags, color labels, and it has favorites. So you have this way to mark the stuff that is on your hard drive. And I think that part of it is really nice because it works really well. The other thing that you can do with Luminar 3 is that you don't have to work at the Finder level anymore to move things around. So for instance, if you want to take one folder of images and put it inside another folder of images, you don't have to go digging around in your hard drive for that. You can just do that in Luminar 3 on the right-hand side in the library pane. And those changes that you do inside that watched folder will be reflected on your hard drive as well. So you can point this application to an existing structure, or you can start 2019 with a fresh start, a new structure that you design right now and have ready to go at the first of the year. And then use Luminar 3 to preview these images, to rate them, to do all this sort of stuff with. Now, it goes beyond that. So yes, it is in the folder section of the application. It is mirroring what's happening on your hard drive. But you also have an albums section in the library, and these are virtual collections. These are albums like we're used to on all the different apps that we use, whether it be Photos or Lightroom or whatever. And these are virtual collections. So now you can start taking images and groups of images, put them in albums, create albums, do album sort of stuff, and not worry about things moving around on your hard drive or it changing the structure that you have on your hard drive. So yes, we do have the mirroring of what's happening on our hard drive in one section of the library, but then you are given this other section, the album section, that is totally virtual, and you can play all you want without any effect anywhere else other than within the album itself. So those are very nice. And again, this is definitely a benefit if you've just been doing Finder-based organization. You don't have the sort of virtual thing. You have to make copies and do separate folders and all that. You don't have to do that in Luminar 3. You do have albums. And then they have shortcut albums. And these shortcut albums operate a lot of different ways. One is by date. So the metadata from your files are being read, and then shortcut albums are created. So you can look at 2017, you see all the months there, you have all that kind of stuff. So if you remember that you went to Hawaii in July of 2018, then you go to July of 2018 in the shortcuts area, and you can find all of your Hawaii shots. They also have shortcuts for pictures that have been recently edited, shortcuts for favorites, you know, that kind of stuff. So this, again, is a virtual area in the sense that it's reading, the application is reading data one way or another, either data that you just applied within the app, such as marking it as a favorite, or data that came in with the file itself, such as XF data, and then creating shortcuts for you, something, again, that you don't get at the Finder level. Now, the area that I'm most pleased with when I think about Luminar 3 with libraries is that it solved one major problem for me with Luminar. And you've heard me talk in the past, those of you that have been following me when I discuss Luminar, is that there are two ways basically to use the software. One is as a plugin for Lightroom, Photoshop, Aperture, or as an editing extension for photos for macOS. And when you use it as a plugin or an editing extension, it's super convenient. I do it all the time. I use it from within Photos. So I'm in Photos, I want to do some Luminar stuff to it. I use the editing extension. It opens up in the Luminar interface, I do my stuff, and then when I click Save Changes, I'm returned to Photos and all those changes to the file appear. Now the problem with that has been that if I'm working with layers and doing all sorts of different stuff when I'm in the Luminar interface, then all of that gets flattened into the file when it comes back into the host application, whether it's Photos or Lightroom or Photoshop. And if I wanted to go back and work more on that image, then I'm starting with a flat image. I don't have all my layers. I don't have the history. I don't have all that stuff, because that was part of the round trip, having all that compressed into one file and then, you know, putting back in my digital asset manager. So what I would have to do in the old days before Luminar 3 is then open the file as a freestanding file. In other words, use Luminar as a standalone application. So I would either export the image out of an existing app or pick it off my hard drive, drop it on to Luminar, do my stuff, and then save it as a Luminar file, LMNR file. And the problem was, and this is the problem that Luminar 3 is addressing, the problem was then I would have all these LMNR files in a folder, and I didn't always know what was what. And, you know, I'd have to open it up and go, oh, it's not that Redwood shot, it's the other Redwood shot. that kind of stuff. And it was just kind of clumsy. I didn't really have a convenient way to browse those files. And they were important to me because they were files that I really wanted to come back and work on, or at least had the possibility of wanting to do that. And I needed to, you know, find them easily and quickly sometimes. With Luminar 3, now I have this asset manager as part of the application. So when I do work in Luminar, then all of that information is saved within the asset manager. So now I have a way to browse the files that I've done extensive work on in Luminar. So all the layers are saved, the history is saved, all that sort of stuff. And I have a nice interface. Plus, I get a little badge on the thumbnail of the image that lets me know that I've worked on it in Luminar. I've edited it in Luminar. And so I can find it there. I can find it in recently edited. I have all sorts of different ways now to manage those files that weren't round-tripped from a different application, but where I wanted to work on them in Luminar and save the Luminar history layers and all that kind of stuff. And this, for me, has been the biggest boon with Luminar 3, is a way to manage all those files that I do extensive work on in Luminar. I did not have an easy way to do that before, and I do now. So what don't I have now with Luminar 3? Well, that also is a substantial list. I don't have any sort of metadata management to speak of. So in other words, let's say that I had a file that used to live in Lightroom that had keywords with it, that maybe had star ratings, maybe had color label, maybe had some other information that I had added, IPTC data, such as description and so forth. And I send that file out of Lightroom and I want to put it in Luminar 3. Luminar 3 will not recognize any of that XMP data at all. Won't recognize the star rating, won't recognize the color label, won't even, you know, recognize any data that I've added in the IPTC fields. It doesn't get rid of it. It doesn't strip it. The data is still with the file. In other words, if I have all that data with the file, and let's say GPS data too, location data, if that data is with the file when it comes into Luminar 3 and I browse it and, you know, I work on it and I do all that sort of stuff, and then I export it out of Luminar 3, and I've been working on a Mac. I haven't tested it on Windows, so this part, I'm speaking Mac for sure, and then I don't know on the Windows side. When I export it out of Luminar, then all that data that was with the file still is with the file. In other words, it doesn't strip anything out. It doesn't strip out, let's say, my copyright information, or it doesn't strip out the GPS data. It's there. But while I'm in Luminar 3, I can't see it. I can't alter it. So it's almost like it doesn't exist while I'm in Luminar 3. So that definitely is something that I would like to see change sooner than later with Luminar 3. I'm not a big keywords person, but sometimes I do have some keywords. I definitely am in love with location data, both with my Fujifilm XF10 and with my iPhone 10. So, you know, that's something that I really enjoy, being able to organize by location. I don't have any of that available to me inside Luminar 3. Another thing about Luminar 3 is that when you bring files into it, let's say from a memory card of your camera, you don't have any of the tools that we get with Lightroom or with Capture One Pro in terms of being able to add metadata to the file during the import process. And in fact, the import process is very basic. You're not even given a way to give it a custom folder name or any of that sort of stuff. You do have four options, and two of them are date options. In other words, year, month, and then year, month, day folders that it can put in there. Now, you can rename folders once they're in Luminar, but I think it's a little bit awkward at the moment to not have a nice clean way to import off a memory card, to be able to add metadata, and to be able to create a custom location within the application for those files to go. So the way that I bring files in is that I just go ahead and bring them into the Finder. I put them in my Finder structure the way that I want. I give the folder the name that I want. And then I put that folder inside the watch folder that Luminar 3 is looking at. And then the application automatically updates the library pane on the application. The minute I put anything in that watch folder, the application updates it. So the process, for instance, for bringing stuff in from a memory card is that I just bring it into the computer. I put it in a folder. I name the folder what I want according to my folder naming convention. Drop that in the watched Luminar's library folder, and then it automatically shows up in the application. And so I want that improved. I want the importing from a memory card, improved so that I can do some stuff, add keywords, add metadata, add copyright information, that kind of stuff during the import. That's something that I like to see sooner than later. And then there are some bugs in the application right now. I know this for a fact because I'm the moderator for the Skylum Photography Public Group on Facebook. I get to see, a lot of the issues that people are facing with this new application. And there are definitely some bugs. One of the bugs has affected me, which is my RAW files from my Fujifilm XF10 crash the application. So every time, I go to, not so much on thumbnail browsing, but if I double click on it to bring it up, full image, as if I was going to edit it or something, then it will crash the app. That's been the bug that I've experienced. People have experienced some bugs with some other RAW files. There's all sorts of little stuff going on. Now, I know that the engineering team for Skylum is working very hard to, squash as many of those bugs that have come up. So there are bugs, and I think that most of the major bugs for both Windows and Mac should be handled in the next couple updates, and they're working very hard on that. So I think that will be handled fairly quickly. I would say even by the time we get to mid-January, a lot of these issues will probably be addressed. So then we get on to, the features themselves, and where is this application going? My belief is that this application is going to become, for many people, an alternative to Lightroom, an alternative to other digital asset managers. And I think what Skylum is going to do is that they are going to continue to go down the basic path that they're on right now, which is have this mirror the structure that's on an external hard drive or on your computer hard drive or a combination of them, right? Because you can have folders for images on your local drive. You can have folders for images on an external drive. And Luminar 3 with libraries can manage all of those. They can manage those separate things. And if you disconnect the external drive that has the master images for one of the folders in Luminar with libraries, you can still do star ratings, you can still do color labels and that kind of stuff, but you won't be able to edit it until the device with the master images is reconnected to the application. Well, that's just like Lightroom or anything else, the way that works. That part of it, I think that basic concept is going to stay the same. What's going to happen is, though, we're going to start to see more features. We're going to start to see things such as keywords. We're going to start to see the ability to work with metadata better. We're going to start to see that sort of stuff. And I think that's when it gets really exciting. So what is my advice to you as you're thinking about this? If you're a disgruntled Lightroom user, or if you're a photographer that's been abandoned by Aperture, or if you think that you want something a bit more sophisticated than Photos, what is my advice to you? My advice is this. If you have access to Luminar 3 with libraries right now, I would set up a test environment and I would take a look at it. I would take a solid look at it. I would play with it. I would look at the interface. There are training videos online to help you kind of get to know it. And, get a feel for this application. Get your head around where it is right now. And then beyond that, as these updates start to roll out throughout 2019, follow it. Because for a lot of folks, there will be a point where Skylum adds a certain feature set where they go, yes, I can pull the trigger now. Might not be for the guy sitting next to you, but then maybe two updates later, it'll be right for him. And then he can pull the trigger and on and on. So I think at some point for a lot of photographers, there will be a point where they can make a solid decision. What I would have preferred, and you know, this just wasn't reasonable given all the work that they put into it, is that we could have started with Luminar 3 if we wanted to at the beginning of 2019. That would have been really cool. That would have been a nice, clean way to make a switch from one application to another. But I think for a lot of folks, unless you're using Adobe Bridge or just Finder-based right now, that probably isn't going to be the case. As I did say earlier, though, if you use Luminar as a standalone application for, you know, really fine-tuning some of your best images, you're going to love Luminar 3 with libraries because it gives you such a great way to manage those standalone files, something that we did not have before. So that's my overview of Luminar 3 with libraries. I'm excited about it, but at the same time, I need more features before I can make a switch. I'm going to be watching it just like the rest of us. I'm going to keep playing with it, and I'll keep you updated as things change. I'm probably going to do another Nimble Classroom on it once we get the next feature set, so keep your eyes peeled for that. And if you haven't, play with it, enjoy it, get to know it now, and then follow along with me as this application continues to evolve. Portfolio Box for the new year. So I've been talking with the Portfolio Box people and also many of our listeners who are now using Portfolio Box. And I was just thinking, you know, this week, I think the one thing I want to talk about, and again, looking toward 2019, is, you know, as we think about, okay, what do I want to do this year to improve my position in the photography world, to evolve as an artist, to just be better at the things that I love? And I was thinking that one of the things that would be a great goal for 2019 is to finally create your online portfolio of your best stuff. Not the stuff that you're putting on Instagram. I'm not saying that your Instagram feed isn't fantastic. I'm sure it is. I'm not talking about the sharing on Flickr. I'm talking about building an online portfolio of your best stuff. So for those instances where someone says, you know, I'd really like to see what your photography is about, you send them this link. They look at it and they're looking at stuff that you have, you know, decided is your best work, presented in a very professional way, and just beautiful. Everything is beautiful. The interface is beautiful. Your pictures are beautiful. And people can go, wow, I didn't realize that you were such a good photographer. And you're going, well, you know, what can I say? Right? What can I say? So I was thinking that 2019 is a great time to start your Portfolio Box portfolio site. And the way to do that is quite simple. You can either click on the link that's in the show notes to take you over to our Digital Story landing page on Portfolio Box, or you can click on the tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story and go in that way. But either way, you want to start out at our landing page because you may want to start out with the free site. But the thing is, if you go in through our landing page and you decide to upgrade to the pro site, which I think you're probably going to want to do at some point, you know, that way you get your custom domain name. Yes, your name, www.yourname.photography.com. That's part of it, right? And this is only $83 for a year. $83 for a year. You go in through our site, that's another 20% off of that. So that's another $16 and something discount. Now that is a very reasonable for what you're getting. You're getting one of the most finely crafted online presentation sites in the world. You get a custom domain name. You get to have 2019 be the year that you put your portfolio together, that you can really show your best stuff to the rest of the world. This sounds like a very attainable and worthy project to me. Go over to the Portfolio Box site today, get your free site going, do a little designing, look at what some other people have done, and then be one of those people that have done it as well. And I hope that this becomes one of your big projects for 2019. And a big thanks to Portfolio Box for standing behind this podcast and this community. And I am just thrilled about that. What are your real life shots of 2018? And I just put this post on the digital story yesterday, I believe, if you're listening to the podcast on Tuesday. And I was talking about, you know, the photographers are this interesting mix of artist and historian. But a lot of times the stuff that we share online, for instance, let's say on your Portfolio Box site, will be your best artwork. And that is a very logical and reasonable thing to do because, you know, that's, you know, what we're most proud of. But the fact of the matter that most of us are taking all sorts of shots during the course of the year, and a lot of those shots are very personal and maybe don't belong in your portfolio site, but maybe belong, you know, sharing with family members and with friends and even you reviewing yourself. And these real life shots, I think that when you take them from a whole year and you put them together in an album and then maybe create a slideshow with them, can be something that's very meaningful at the end of the year. And I was thinking in this article, why not build a collection like that and then share it with whomever you're with on New Year's Eve and say, these are the moments during the year that were meaningful to me. And there's going to be good stuff in there. There's going to be family gatherings, moments of celebration, great meals, you know, all that kind of stuff. There'll be some hard stuff in there too, you know, especially if you live in an area that was hit by a natural disaster, or if you had some real personal challenges during the year, you probably have some images that are related to that. That'll be in there as well. And what I was thinking is that as we look back through these images, these personal images that we've just sort of snapped with our smartphones and our pocket cameras and so forth over the course of the year, we can get a real feel for what we have done over the last 12 months. And if a lot of those images are, you know, great memories, then we can have a moment and give thanks for the blessings that we have, that we were allowed to have these great moments. And if a lot of the images are challenges, then we can say, look, I saw these challenges. I faced these challenges head on, and I'm here right now, despite these challenges. And you can take some comfort in that even in hard times, you can get through them. And I think for a lot of us, it's going to be a mix of good moments and challenges. And I just think that pulling together a collection of these real life shots from the last year, and then just spending some time with them, and I think a slideshow is a great way to go, add a little bit of music, I think will make you feel better about your life, because, you know, life becomes this day-to-day blur. And then when we look back on what we have survived, accomplished, and enjoyed over the last 12 months, we can have a real appreciation for how alive we are and maybe give us a little momentum going into 2019. So if this is interesting to you, take a look at that article. I put the link in the show notes. It's right there on the digital story. What are your real life shots of 2018? This is something that might be fun to do if you have a little bit of time, you know, after Christmas or whatever holiday that you happen to celebrate in preparation for the new year. Think about it. Let me know what you think. All right, just a couple other things I want to touch on here. I want to talk about the Joshua Tree workshop because we're down to only having a couple openings left on the reservation site. And I'm super excited about this workshop. And so our reserve list members, people who have signed up on the reserve list, and there's a link in the show notes, or you can just go to thenimblephotographer.com and click on workshops there, and that'll take you right to it. Or you can go to the workshops page on Digital Story, or you can just click on the link in the show notes, however you want to do it. If you're interested in joining us in March in the high desert, then I would get on the reserve list sooner than later. This week, I'm sending out the itinerary. I got the itinerary developed out for the Joshua Tree event. And I am so excited about it. I cannot wait to get out there with my camera and with members of our virtual camera club. Hang out at the Adobe Rock Pile, which is the name of the facility we're staying at. It's going to be all ours, just us with, full kitchen, great work area, a big patio, hot tub, starry nights, and high desert all around us. We'll be living there for a few days. And then, of course, we'll be going to our field camp that's inside Joshua Tree National Park, which we have reserved as well. This is going to be a great event. And as I said, if you're on the reserve list right now, look for your itinerary. I'm going to try to get it to you before January 1. And if you're not on the reserve list, one of the things for 2019, whether it's this event or the Redwoods event or the Sonoma Coast event or the San Francisco event, think about adding some positive experiences to your art and to your photography. There's no better way, and I know I'm totally biased on this, but there's no better way to do that than join us for one of these workshops. Inner Circle members, we've completed our first photo challenge, and David won the t-shirt. David, you'll be getting your t-shirt here before too long. I'm going to start another photo challenge right after Christmas, so keep an eye on the Patreon site for details about that. And also, Inner Circle members, I just want to thank you for your year of support. It has meant so much to me. This podcast is alive and well in large part to your contributions. I'm looking forward to a very active and exciting 2019. I've got some great ideas for Inner Circle activities, and I'm just glad that you're a part of it. If you want to be a part of it, then click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of Digital Story. Become a member of this Inner Circle group and help us keep this show alive and viable. The workshops, the ongoing posts, all the stuff that we do, Inner Circle members help make that happen. And finally, a huge thanks to our friends at Red River Paper. Another year of support by them. Another year of coming out with quality products, another year of making printing the exciting world that it is. And you're going, exciting, printing exciting. Yeah. Yeah. When you have one of your images come out of that printer that looks beautiful, that is a piece of art that you can show to someone else, it's exciting. It is exciting. Pushing buttons on a computer, not so exciting. Holding artwork that you made, very exciting. And Red River Paper helps make that happen. The best place to start is our landing page, which you can get to by clicking on the Red River tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. And then also they have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. Show them support, get some paper, make some artwork. Believe me, it's exciting. All right, that's going to do it for me today. I hope your holidays are going well. Think about some of these things in this little period of time that we have before the new year starts. Think about, reflecting on 2018 and getting ready for 2019. We're going to do this together. Come back next week. I have more good stuff to share. Until then, happy holidays.